All right. What's good? It is Sky and Fly. All right. What's good? How we doing?
I'm doing okay. Again, checking in on you.
All right. So who am I? I'm Sky. I'm Fly from the ATL, where the players will. Currently living in Los Angeles, where it's going to be hell. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sales VA, all day, two up, two down, chilling in sunny Southern California, and heading to my crown soon to get some TST in my life, rocking my bonnet, ready for bed.
All right, and who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspective, soccer, football, everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
And currently, we have tall people, skyscrapers,
yeah.
Sears Towers.
Wow, I didn't add that one.
Hey, that was filled today. Anyway, tall
it's
folks, be nerd the tall
back
Drake.
And say it's not called the Sears Tower.
Coach Courtney, tall Drake.
I would say Latavius. That the Sears Tower is only for Andre Latavius. I am. Or again, regular sized.
No, you're a WNBA height.
So am I. What are you talking about, regular size?
You can be a WNBA player.
No, Andre, you're extra.
No, we're not here for the truth. We're here for the agenda.
Okay, fine. You're
that
6
comes
foot.
Truth comes later.
Okay, tall Dre, you're 7'12".
I'm
and
not.
Oh, 8 feet?
Courtney, I love it. Okay, is 6'12". There we go.
I am also not 6'12". That is so wrong. No one has ever met me being like, oh, she's so tall. I've never had that reaction.
Okay, WBA
life.
Player. It's cool. It's all good. We're going to talk about them later. But anywho,
not at all.
In this episode, we are going to recap the game, the U.S. Women's National Team playing South Korea, that game last night. Then we're going to recap whatever stuff across the window. What did the Sister Emma change? And all that. And then we're going to rant and rave. And we're going to do some hits and riffs and go to the next episode that the tall ones have. So, where
right,
do we begin?
Let's do it.
Old tall ones.
Oh,
wait, why do we... Oh, it's our show shit.
Yeah, like, what? All right. We need to recap the game for the people.
Yeah, the game from last night. What had happened was...
Wow, what happened was okay. So last night was game two of two friendlies between the United States and South Korea in Minnehaha, Minneapolis, St. Paul at Allianz Stadium.
I heard it was called Minnesota.
Minnesota. I haven't heard that.
Minnesota.
I saw Minnesota. Nice. And Prince is from Minnesota. Yeah, so they played their second match. Emma did in her pre-match press conference state that she was intending to make, and actually her post-match conference from the first game, that she intended to make many changes and did that for the most part. I think the only players that started from the first game were Jenna Neiswanger and Lindsay Horan. So Casey Murphy was in goal instead of Jane Campbell. Sam Stops started in theory, a center back. And then Emily Sonnet was on the back line, and then joining Lindsay Horan in the midfield, Rose Lavelle for her 100th cap, and number five. And then up top, we had Jaden Shaw. I forgot, Casey Kruger was on the back line as well. And then up top, we had Jaden Shaw, Alex Morgan, and for the first time in how many was it? Did they say how long it had been since she played?
2017.
Since
2017, Crystal Dunn started in an attacking position. Who knew besides both of our podcasts?
who knew besides all of us?
Amongst us. So that was your starting 11 against South Korea. And I think... one shocker for me, they played a 3-4-3, yeah?
Attacking, I would say.
Yeah, an attacking
3-4-3.
I was like, when they were defending it,
yeah,
kind of turned into a 4-4-2, however...
it depended.
there were still holes in that 4-4-2.
It was more like a 4-short-2.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't lie, even for one of those players in the four, like shifting between going from a 4-4-2 into a 3-4-3, needing to move back up, there were times where it was like, oh, there's just a small gaping hole right there.
Well, and to let the people know, like, Emma did say she threw a decent amount. Like, no, she said she threw a lot of them in that week of training to see what sticks and to see who can adapt. Like, her timeline is minimal, and so I understand that. And she's going to coach to try and win. Do I think we'll win? Who the hell knows?
We're going to talk about it later, but continue.
I know, but yeah, like, so she threw a lot at them, including those different tactical setups. And, yeah, I think some people had a wee bit of an easier time grasping it than others. I think many people considered a lot of the people starting in the second game, like, this is their audition, right? Like, she has to pick 18 players as of now. Hopefully the rumors are true, but she has to pick 18 players and 4 alternates. And so a lot of people were coming back from injury. They don't necessarily start all the time. So I think, yeah, we looked at this game as an audition and to see what their tactical flexibility looked like and how they could absorb information and execute it in a very short amount of time.
I think what was notable for me was the fact that there were 9 changes. I don't remember the last time we've ever seen 9 changes for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Not a
hockey line change. I think, honestly, the last time maybe the U.S. really rotated, and if I'm being honest, like, I meant really, really rotated, was one of the random games from 2019, like, actually during the World Cup. Like, that's the last time I could think of that amount of rotation across the squad.
That's bleep.
I was like, 9 changes from like one match to another is like a bit unusual, but it was kind of wild in certain areas of the pitch seeing the drop off. And I mean, I think you could tell that when, like, look, she made those 3 attacking subs of Trinity Mount, Sophia scored, what, 2 minutes later? Like,
really? On a silly angle. Like,
on
what?
On a silly angle.
What a silly goal. We'll talk about it.
That was an absolutely silly goal. But yeah, I think, seeing those amount of changes, it did kind of feel like an audition for some. And yeah, I completely agree. I think some really rose to that challenge. Like, I'll start us off. Like, I think Sam Staub, for example, really rose to that challenge. While seeing some others,
the memories.
Well, I do think some others didn't necessarily. I called in the group chat besides saying so. I think both of us said, hey, we need an adult in the center of the park. There are no adults in the center of the park. And I almost brought back my Swiss cheese analogy.
Oh, it was Swiss cheese. It was wide open. The holes were holes.
Well, that's what I meant. Like, Swiss cheese has huge holes in it. Look, the field, you just put Swiss cheese in big old hole right near the center circle.
Andre.
I, to be honest, I think Sam Staub did well. I was a little concerned with her being out wide so much. I don't think 1v1 defending is her strong suit, so I didn't love that utilization of her, but she almost scored, which would have been really dope. I'm actually surprised that she didn't hit the target there. You know what? I'm on Shea Butter FC. I'm going to go ahead and say it. For a hot second, I was like, oh, there goes Alex. But
I totally thought that was too much.
Okay. I also
And then I looked up and it was Sam Staub.
I totally agree. I saw that and I was like, oh, Alex, why are you missing another chance? But then,
that's my fault. That's my fault.
Oh, no, but then they cut to a close up and I was like, Sam, stop. And the thing is, like, while that was happening, I think I was like texting or something was going on, so I didn't look, like, I didn't actually see the chance form, so I was like, oh yeah, and then I was like, Sam, stop, how How did Sam stop getting that position? Like,
how did any of our centers keep getting in scoring positions?
Right. Like, the reason why I didn't think so, that I didn't think it was Staub, is because I also, like, just the pass that was floated in looked like a Sam Staub pass. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, she must have passed it. And then I was like, oh, damn, that's not at all what happened. That was Horan with the pass, and that was Staub with the shot. So that would have been dope if she would have scored, but, you know, didn't.
You shot that like a center back.
Yeah, right. I'm with y'all. I thought that, so I'm going to go ahead and preface this. A lot of folks seem to think that because there's like a personal or like a disagreement or just a frustration or whatever you want to call it with a particular player, that you can't be unbiased when you assess their abilities and their performance. And I don't care what people think. Like, all of us are Black here. We are very much used to, like, a lot of people in sports not really aligning with our politics or policies or thoughts of life. And so we're very used to being able to separate these things. We've said it before in plenty of other situations. Our whole, like, my whole frustration with the Corbin Albert situation is that it sends messages of protection for bigotry, when protection wasn't offered for people like Crystal Dunn and Megan Rapinoe, who wanted to kneel for police brutality and against racial inequality. And of course, Rapinoe was actually dropped. Crystal Dunn never knelt because she said she was scared to. And so it's frustrating from that perspective. It's also frustrating from a personal player perspective, right? Like, this, the team represents something bigger. The team also has players who are gay on it, right? We don't know if there are more than those who are out as well. So it's about work environment as well. We've talked about this before on our podcast. So say all that to say, basically, we can separate all that and also be truthful about her performance. It was not good. Mm-mm. That midfield looked bad. She was struggling big time to try to figure out when to go, when to stay, where she needed to be to receive a pass, how you need, I mean, again, y'all said it needed an adult. When a 16-year-old came in, there was an adult, right? And so, like, that to me is like the biggest, starkest contrast of, like, yes, she has individual abilities and talents that are good, Corbin Albert I'm talking about, mm-hmm. but she's still not settled in that deeper midfield position. And I think you saw the difference of a player who is built to play in that position and one who is not yet.
Well, and I go ahead, Tills.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I also think it's notable, and this is one thing that we had seen in basically the past few weeks, of Corbin Albert also, like, hasn't, I think when she joined PSG, she was basically getting a ton of minutes. In the last, I want to say month, maybe a month and a half, she also has been in and out of the PSG side, sometimes starting, sometimes not starting. I feel like part of that also showed yesterday, of kind of that, like, the decision-making of, like, when to go, when to stay. And, I mean, if y'all have listened to at least any Desperate United, y'all know how we feel about Lindsay as a six. Really, Lindsay playing as a double pivot for the U.S. Women's National Team, it often does not work unless you are playing against a team who isn't really going to ask questions of you defensively. And even then, like, I don't want to say the lack, but, like, you know, one thing that people constantly praise a player like Lindsay Horan for example, is her, you know, fluidity, floating, all that stuff, which is great. But when you're, you know, supposed to be, like, when I think of a double pivot, I think of oftentimes two players who are also very, like, disciplined and knowing when to go and knowing when to stay between the two of them and being, you know, highly communicative with that. And so I think, like, honestly, for the two of them playing together, it was just, like, it was just not ideal. And you could, I mean, obviously you could tell a difference when Lily Johannes came in, but you could also tell a huge difference when Sam Coffey came in.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
I mean, it was hard to watch the first half because of that Swiss holiness. The midfield was madly unstable. You had people who wanted to go attack. You had people who wanted to defend. Well, I might defend in theory, but it was all open season. then you had, like, on the front line, a struggling nine trying to attack who was still dealing with the speed of play. So, no, you don't have who you had on the first game, and having like Mal, Sophia, Trinity, but you had Crystal Dunn and you had Jaden Shaw. And so that speed difference was still apparent. And then even for the rest of the field. So, yes, the you had Roosevelt out there. Yes, you had the issues with the midfield. But even it was like a speed mismatch that was really clear that with Emma here, that additional the addition of details, it became really like glaring. So then timings were off centrally on top of the holes in the midfield that things weren't flowing. And then you had things where basically your wingers were getting to the balls before. Or even if Alex picked up a ball, she didn't make the right decision to like pass to Jaden, pass to Crystal. She was trying to, you know, make it happen and then get the ball taken off of her or miss whatever. So, I mean, you saw it was like a rocky ride. And then, yeah, I mean, it really didn't flow until she made substitutions. Because even Korea was actually starting to cook. And then we were having to experience the Casey Murphy experience. And it's like, we're going to have current club form, Casey? Or are we going to have, you know, U.S. Women's National Team yesterday experience? So
I mean, inside you, there are two wolves. My God, what a different human being.
So you call the country.
I'm like, is Ebony going to be like Boba Hive? You know, or are we going to get like the full...
Oh, no. Is she our Sakura?
Oh, my God.
No,
she's better. I
would say she's also like, I don't know what it is about Murphy being kind of funky this season in goal, but I feel like in seasons past, she's also been quite reliable for North Carolina, like over the course of the season.
She wasn't last year.
Well, yeah, that's true. She made the saves
for like 5 years.
We went on a goalkeeping journey because even when she set up the wall and she wasn't in the right place in the wall and it was almost a disaster. Like, yeah, it was. She saved balls, so she had.
She was murdering some people.
She had to do what she had to do, but you saw South Korea cook a little bit, including Casey Fair, who has yet to play for Angel City. We gonna keep it focused though. But anyway, you had all things happen. That where it was like, okay, this is a journey, but it's clearly I wasn't tripped out about it. I know previously in past iterations of the national team and recent memory, we had this kind of thing. It's like, Lord, Father, God, what other national team am I representing in the Olympics? Like you had visions of other things. What are you doing for your mental health? It was like, okay, this is a clear rotational game. I think the biggest thing though is when she made subs, it was clear who probably her vision of a starting lineup is and then who she kept in. I was like, I see what you're doing. You're trying to kill people. Like, I got excited about the fact that she kept in like a Jaden Shaw to see what does it look like with this. Briefly kept in Casey Krueger, who usually gets kind of shafted in this whole national team thing. But she kept players in to see what it looked like, and it looked way better. Like, Jaden looked way better when she played with players who could go to speed. Although initially hated moving Crystal Dunn back, how even Crystal was joining in attacking shit. Like it was cooking. We was out here living the American dream. Cause you had all that. You had players, not just cause they black, you had players who were like the best suited for, if we gonna whip that ass, we gonna whip that ass out there. So yeah.
Yeah. I'll go quickly. So I think there are three midfielders that played yesterday that played in the Champions League. One of them looked like it. She played for 10 minutes.
Okay, Bar.
So I'd like, no, your least panicked player has a mouthful of braces. That is very interesting to me. Yeah, I agree. I think the subs definitely told a tale. I remember in the first half, I was just sitting there like, no one's smiling harder than Sam Coffey right now because she just guaranteed her spot. She was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
I think she I'm good. Yeah.
I think I'm good. Her family, whoever's going to Paris, whatever.
Right. You just text your people. Cover it, I guess it's raining, but like, you should be good. Like, not going to live for all the good luck, but like, she's got to be one of those people who's like, I feel pretty good about my spot right now. So yeah, I think like her coming on made a difference. Obviously Lily came on. It was just really slow. I think we all kind of assumed it was the kind of the B team or the people who might not be able to play 90. And yeah, I agree. I think Sam Staub showed herself well. I think Nice Walker's on the plane. I hope Casey Cook's on the plane. We got to have somebody who can defend 1v1, fam. we have to. And there's the two of them are Gurma and her. So, like, we gotta make sure we have that. I think, obviously, with the subs and that front line, I think Tamara's now asking us, what are we going to call Mal, Soph, and Trinity? Because that's pretty much in pen, I think.
Yeah.
I think maybe figuring out the last two, forwards, mids, attackers, whatever, is going to be the goal. And I certainly think Crystal Dunn made a very good case for herself. I find it very interesting that, again, you had two particular players on that pitch who people tell me all the time are utility players. One of them proved it. She played all three lines in that game. Crystal Dunn played all three lines in that game.
She did. And I thought she actually combined. I know that, like, the attack before the subs weren't working despite Crystal Dunn scoring, which I do think we need to scream about that.
I mean, goal scorers instinct.
I mean, yeah, so she also hasn't scored for the U.S. Women's National Team since 2018. Yeah. So it's also been 6 years since she scored. And also, if you look at the buildup of that play, she is not even close to the first person closest to goal.
Nope.
And also that play, I mean, it was very fun watching in real time, seeing the time difference between Spanish language, the game in Spanish and the game in English, because the game in English was a full, like, 20 seconds behind. And I was like, I work in TV. So most of the time when you have a game on cable, like, cable is your number one feed that, like, gets everything first and stuff like that. And then streaming other things, like, honestly, there's normally like anywhere from a 2 to 10 second delay. It can happen also because of Wi-Fi. But it was baffling seeing the difference of those two between languages. And so when I switched to the Spanish language, I was like, oh, I see why everyone is talking about it. But it was like wild seeing specifically Crystal Dunn's goal happen, because Alex Morgan gets the ball and I start typing in all caps, why is she taking so many touches? Like, because Jaden Shaw was trying to run, like, literally run in behind, and like all she had to do was slip the ball, like slot the ball through. Great chance for Jaden to be one-on-one with the keeper. Obviously, we don't know if she scores or not. But Alex takes a ton of touches, kind of lets the rest of the team catch up. And, like, to be fair, I don't know if that was just a personal decision or maybe, like, a tactical thing where, like, we want to see us, like, transition in a certain way or progress the ball up the field in a certain way. But the fact that, you know, the ball does eventually go out to, I believe, Jenna Nyswanger, who then crosses it in and Crystal gets there, act surprisingly.
What an Alex angle. Like,
the ball.
That wasn't her goal.
Yeah.
But she beat it. She got to the ball first.
She did.
From a deeper position.
truly from a deeper position. And I just think that also really speaks to Crystal kind of really stepping up in this game. I will say for Emily Sonnet, I don't think she played poorly. Like, I think there have been times where she's been in the midfield where we've kind of been like, why? Or like, it is working or it isn't working. I think at a time where, I can pretty fairly say that Tierna Davidson isn't 100% fit. I don't think she's had a full 90-minute performance yet for club or for country. I know Naomi played a full 90 at the end of the last match, but like prior to that, maybe she had played like 190. For club. So it's like Emily Sonnet is a utility player, but also like the U.S. Women's National Team doesn't use her as really a utility player, which is like kind of the wildest part. Like, we saw Crystal like move from forward. Like, yes, she was listed as a forward. If we're being honest, she was really playing as a wing back.
Yeah.
And then got moved to left back when she was playing on the right earlier. She was literally all over the pitch. And we just also haven't, like, I don't think we've ever seen the national team coach, like, have, for example, Emily Sonnet move around to three different positions in the same 90 minutes. So it's, like, fascinating to me that, like, they both get, like, tagged on as utility players, but, like, who is actually being used as a utility player.
It's not lost on me that it was Emma Hayes. It was like, I know I can use her as a utility player because she did it.
I was like, Emma created the blueprint, unfortunately.
Right.
Caused a problem.
I'm also here for the Emma Hayes wingback era. I know she's salivating with the athletes we have, so this will be real interesting.
I love them wingbacks.
Yeah.
Can I go back to Crystal Dunn's goal for a hot
second? You certainly can, sir.
Yes.
I wanted to, first of all, I want to acknowledge the turn that she made to get that space. That was a good turn. I appreciated that. So good on the turn, outside foot, made sure she was able to spin into space and protect the ball. That was dope. I agree. I think there were multiple passes that could have been hit earlier, because it was kind of funny how it's kind of like she almost got credit for like building up that sequence, but it was just a very simple layoff to Jenna Neiswanger, which simple passes are fine. But that final ball is like, that's not something you can bank on replicating every single match. That was that angle, that ball, the way it curled just in front of the back line. Neiswanger can do that, but that was like impressive. Yeah. So for me to give her credit for constructing that kind of chance is kind of like, oh, that's a little bit of a stretch.
I also found it super interesting that she got that ball out wide and we're told that she's supposed to play wide now and immediately went central. She was like, absolutely not. She was like, absolutely not. I will take the long way around to go centrally. Thank you so much.
The thing that made it funny to me, though, in watching the replay is that not only did she not play Jaden Shaw in, but Crystal Dunn was in all the space.
Bruh.
There was nobody within like 10 to 12 yards of her. All you have to do is hit a reverse pass. And I'm just going to tell you, Sophia Smith can make that pass. Mallory Swanson.
She did it last game, did she not?
Shaw can make that pass. Lily Johannes can make that pass. And the fact that Alex looked at it, she was going to do it. There's a moment, if you watch the replay,
there's
a moment where she looks like she's going to shape her body to hit that pass. And then she goes, out of my room.
I don't
and
do
she
that.
Just keeps driving forward. But it was very funny because I'm like, oh, wow, that would have been easy. Crystal Dunn 1v1 with the goalkeeper. Instead, it still works out. Crystal Dunn gets the goal. But like, there's almost like no truer example of taking the scenic route. She could have just hit that reverse pass. It's a wrap. It's a goal. That's it.
And it's so funny because like later in the half, she absolutely tries to hit a back heel. And it's comical. It's comical.
Actually, there were several times she attempted a back heel. I saw at
least I only saw that one where I was like, nah, fam, come on.
I said it in the chat. I'm going to say it here. Every single time she did it, all I had in my head was that meme of how do you do, fellow kids? Like, I've got sauce too. And it was like, stop.
That made me think of Wind Sprints hitting all those back heels. And I was like, why? I saw it. And that's immediately what my brain went to. Because I was like, why are we doing this? It's, first of all, predictable. Like, you're not, it's not being disguised well. I can see that the back heel coming, and I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't be able to spot that.
But I mean, I was concerned. I mean, I think that's also a showing of she probably is feeling concerned. Is she going to have a spot? Because if you're comfortable or at least comfortable in what you're doing, your performances, you make the pass to Crystal or Jaden. Because at the end of the day, even if you don't score goals, if you at least show you can be, even if you're not starting, you can be incorporated in the system and you can make the right decisions, you can go on play. But when you do something like that, it's screaming you not secure. And so you make a decision like that. And that's where I was like, while you're trying to show that you can score and do whatever and win the match, sometimes it's literally is going to come to, when do you make the right decision during the game? When do you look at whatever the passing pattern is? It was Jaden, then Crystal, and when do you make the decision? Because, like, that's the difference between winning or not, particularly when we talk about the Olympics and you get into, like, the later stages. We talking gold medal or not, medal or not, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I was like, oh, boy, that ain't a good look, pimp.
It's a hell of a time for the team to get faster.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, that's raw for her. Like, it's a hell of a time for them to get younger and faster.
But you can mitigate
and be better dribblers.
Even if, let's say you get faster, what can keep you on the team is if you make good decisions. You can be slow as shit, but if you can still connect because you make good decisions, you can get your ass out there. You can still get rolling.
But if that hasn't been your bread and
butter. That's true. That's true.
I think part of it is we've been talking about this, and to whatever degree we feel people are versatile, utility players, whatever, she's one of the few players that can only play one position.
Yeah.
especially on an Olympic roster, that's not advantageous. Unless you are really fucking good at that position. Like, and it's not to say she clearly has been. She has scored a lot of goals. She is, I'm saluting, you've done your duty. But the way this team plays doesn't help somebody who is going to have a birthday before the Olympics. Right? And it doesn't mean there's not a place for you in football. But this tournament, I mean, I know we'll talk about rosters later. I've heard alternate of like, that's really weird, though. Why would she accept?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. That makes no sense. And you don't
get I mean, I guess for the mentorship aspect, but I'm just like...
But you don't get a medal.
If I'm her, I'm like... Well, right, like...
I also say, like, I also don't think... Think about Vlaco, for example.
Right.
One of the reasons why we also, for example, saw Taylor... Yes. Why we saw, like, Taylor Korniak, for example, for long stretches of time, it's because of her combination with Alex Morgan. And it was very, very clear. It's like, I want Alex Morgan in here for her hold-up play or her flick-ons or whatever.
Right.
There seemed to be a reason. At times, and I'm not going to lie, at times it did work well. And then it also at other times it didn't. And it's just, like, confusing to me of... And I think this is, like, the first time where maybe... For the U.S., we're starting to shift a little bit more to system versus player, where there were times in the past where it's like, okay, we're going to bring in XYZ players to build around this one central player to make them the best they can be for the U.S. Women's National Team. And, like, I mean, that goes for Morgan, but if I'm being honest, that's, like, has also gone for, like, I think of, like, an Abby Wambach at times, too, like... This is going to be our center point, and then we're going to build around it. And I feel like one thing that Emma Hayes has really brought over is, like, this is going to be the system, and I'm going to have a slew of people that can fit into the system and do X, Y, Z things that I want them to do. And, like, that's a massive shift from really the way we've seen the U.S. Women's National Team for a long time.
And I think in that sense, she's the perfect coach because I'm not going to call Scholasticos, but, like, Chelsea had a roster of world-class players at all times and the ability to manage that talent, manage egos, to be able to say to somebody, you're paying a lot of money to you, you're not starting today. Like, all of that is something that I don't think any previous manager has had. And I mean, it's part of why to finally transition this team to be able to have those conversations and also to have the tactical acumen. And I'll be frank with you, this is the first time there's a coach who's as big as the players. And I think 100%. This is going to be really interesting. Like, I think the Olympics is its own sort of standalone thing because we don't have a lot of time. We are trying to get medals. Like, we got to win something, right? Even if it's not gold. The World Cup was that bad, right? They got to get the stink off somehow, seems to be. Like, they need a spiritual cleanse, in a way. But, yeah.
Are you saying the spiritual cleanse was not the W Gold Cup?
Don't do that. Please, goodbye.
Look, I love the W Gold Cup, okay?
But I did, too. Like,
I know I'm saying it's not the same, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. But, yeah, or the Sheba for the 8 millionth time? No.
We don't know what he believes?
No, I don't. I know what... Men believe more than I wish I did this week. That's a later. Sorry, Andre. Obviously.
No. That was not a noof about that. That was a noof about those motherfuckers.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I agree with you, Courtney. Like, I think it's the first time it's actually a system and, like, forming an identity, reshaping the culture, starting from scratch, like, rebuilding this thing so we can get to the point, like Emma said, where you have that swagger. Don't think it means we're going to win every game. We didn't before, by the way. I don't know what version of this team people
right.
have in their head.
Yeah, right.
Didn't From 99 to 2015, we didn't win.
Right.
Yeah. This team didn't
do shit. That was up at home. Right. Sitting at home.
Like, I get that it's the earliest exit from a World Cup, but, like, yeah, it's been a ride.
It was a ride. It was a journey. I don't know.
Yeah, so, but I do think, I mean, probably an overused word, swagger, but, like, bringing that back, that confidence and the joy, like, playing with joy and embracing what that looks like and who is bringing that, right? Because this team ain't looked like this before. And that's probably a good thing. So yeah.
Wait, hold up, pause. We wildin'. Lily Johannes subbed up.
We did. She did.
We did talk about
permanent smile on my face.
Talk about joy.
The joy. Like I was screaming. Those were the passes.
God.
We were sending beautiful passes downfield. Even the first touch.
That pass to Trinity.
Beautiful pass. The pass to Trinity.
Oh my God. Woo! There, I have like six player. No. Maybe like four or five players in my head that I can just watch them pass the ball just like all day. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, I just want you to pass the ball all day. Mm-hmm. I can say two of them for folks. Like one is Xabi Alonso. Like I can just watch him. Yeah. I'm like, just kick the ball down the field. Even him as coach of Bayer Leverkusen, I was still like, I was like, you still got it. I was like, you just pass the ball. I know it was Thiago, who I think he left Liverpool, but like when he was healthy, I was like, can just pass the ball.
Or like his Bayern era or something.
I'm like, just pass the ball all day long. I just want to sit and watch you ping the ball around and pass the ball all day long.
Yeah.
And Lily Johannes, not to put a ton of pressure on her, but she is like starting to get up there of like, I can genuinely, I just want to watch you pass the ball. I just want you to ping the ball, pull strings, like just pass the ball.
It's poetry. Like it is. I want to be so tempered because this is a child. She's 16.
Yeah, 16.
She's 16. Like, again, when she smiles, there's metal in her mouth. she looks 16, a very tall 16-year-old, but a 16-year-old.
That's what amazed that she goes, she's tall.
She's really tall.
She goes, she's really tall.
When I went to Atlanta and I like she's went to that, that practice, I was like, oh, no, she's genuinely bigger. Okay. And she might have one more growth spurt in her. But all that say, I want to be very tempered because we never know what kind of pressure we're putting on anyone, much less a minor. And I want to truly honor the fact that she has stated, like, she doesn't want to make a decision right now. She wants the ability to choose for herself. And I think to have a real opportunity in both countries, if you don't know, she, I guess once she would receive her passport, would be eligible to play for the Netherlands as well. And it's absolutely, I think, for the first time since maybe Kat, and even with Kat, we kind of knew what she was going to do. This might be the first really bona fide, like, dual national battle that we have, that we're really going to invest in here. And she is absolutely worth it, and I want her to pick wherever she is most comfortable. I mean, in theory, she could also play for Eritrea. I don't think they cut themselves together enough as a federation, but hey, you never know. but so I want to be very careful. But also I ain't felt that kind of joy in a while. Just like you said, Courtney, like I could, her passes, like I've watched her in Champions League. I've watched my Ajax games. Like it's on a string. It's art, it's artistry. Like she's just gifted in this way. And her vision and the weight on her passes, like she didn't miss.
No.
Her pass completion percentage was 19 of 19. And it doesn't look hard.
Yep.
That's how I know she's good. It looks effortless for her.
And she can pick a ball the off minute a player.
Came up. Right. Yeah. And oh, that move when she like pushes through the contact.
Yeah, when she bodied when she
Marvin. We've been starving on that.
Yes. That's the move.
Straight
like
up and kept the ball?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, bless you.
And the thing that I love about that, I think Mal was the player closest to her, but her vision and what she wants to do, she saw Robin. So she bypassed Mal to make sure Robin got the ball in space because she was in a better position. She wasn't as narrow. And it's like when I saw her, like she had to engage in a challenge, win the challenge, then she was basically right at the front of the back line, and then it was like, okay, what do you do? She's 16 years old. Would have been very easy to just roll the ball to Mal. Okay, you take over from here. Like, I got the ball here. That's good enough. But she saw Trinity and rolled out a really nice pass right to her feet, and that's when Robin made that cut inside and had that left-footed shot that just, like, exploded the bar. That was that. But, like, that could have been an assist and probably should have been. Well, I can't say should have been because the left-footed curler from there is not, like, guaranteed. But Robin's skillful enough to put that on net, and I don't believe the keeper would have saved it if she did. But like that whole sequence was like, that's it. That's it. That's midfielding. That's what we've been missing. Center of the pitch, take the ball, make a smart decision with a smart pass, put a player in position to score.
And I think it's also really notable, like, how everyone has been shouting her out on their various Instagrams, being like, you have a bright, bright future. You're a baller. Like, they know. I mean, Sophia Smith said it on national television last night. She was like, she's a baller. Like, yeah. Or they already see her qualities. And obviously, you know, you do never know, and you don't want to put pressure on a 16-year-old because, yeah, mm-hmm. Well, like, you're like, oh, serious footballer. And then she smiles, and you're like, you are a child.
Happy they were for her the whole
time. Right. They all came off that bench, every last one of them. I think we have, as a national team, very rarely had a player. We have players that make the right decision, but we rarely have a player that makes the most right decision. Well, she makes the most right decision.
Yeah, and the I think there's adding to that, like the scary thing about her is that because of her skill set, there are a lot more correct decisions that she can access. Like that pass wide to Robin that we started talking about first. It's a correct decision. The lane was there to hit that pass, but even if it's a correct decision, insert any other midfielder and tell them how pull that pass off. Are they doing it?
No.
You know what I mean?
The midfielders who I think can pull off that pass, or no, sorry, the players who I think on the US Women's National Team can pull off that pass, don't play in midfield.
Right, exactly.
Like, I think
they're usually back line.
I was like, Sam Staub can pull off that pass.
Yeah. Right.
And Abby Dahlkemper can 100% pull off that pass. Naomi, I was like, Girma, Irma's starting to pull off that pass.
If you let her do it.
I was at first. Yeah, I was like, I will say I think she has been to the Abby Dahlkemper school long ball passing.
Jaden Shaw can hit that pass.
I was like, and yeah. I think, yeah, I was like, a Jaden Shaw can hit that pass.
Maybe Kat. Like, there's a very good
Cat. And then, I will actually say, at least, maybe she won't hit it all the time or all accurately. We did see, I will say, Horan hit that pass, like, not that pass, but hit a long pass like that. But, like, the majority of the midfielders, I feel like the U.S. has seen in, what, the last 10 years? No, maybe not 10. Maybe, like, 6,
when did,
7.
When did Chaney retire?
Yeah, that's the, yes.
2016?
Yeah, like 15, 16, yeah. It's been 16. A minute.
Like, we have not seen a midfielder hit that pass in a very long time.
And it was so
We don't value it as a skill set. So like in that sense, I think her playing abroad, and I think her playing amongst her community as a kid, because I think, shout out to Tamara for her wonderful story that got us out on the broadcast last night. But I think in that story, they talk about, like, essentially she plays keep away when she was playing in her Eritrean community. Like, and you can see how that came with her as her skill set. Developed, and she really didn't get to make one of those runs last night either, because I need people, if you have not seen her make a box-to-box run,
sheesh.
It's lovely. I've seen German women bounce off of her, like, grown women. Because, again, not a little player either.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the interesting thing about her, is when you see her and you just, like, see her face and the braces and everything, you're like, oh, yeah, she's very much 16, but she's also, like, as you said, that we just talked about, that bodying in midfield and winning the ball. She just muscled through, and she's 16. And it's like, that's not going to go away. That's just going to continue to get stronger and better on the ball and in a lot of other ways. So, like, yeah, I'm happy for her that she had that moment. I felt, you know, not necessarily vindicated, but it's kind of like, this is what we've been talking about, right? This is what we've been seeing in the Champions League. This is what we've been talking about. Like, yes, I promise you that she can fit on this team, and she can play on this team, and she deserves to be on this team if she so chooses. And so, to me, the question is just, like, how is the U.S. Soccer Federation going to make sure they don't fumble it? Like, if she ultimately just says, you know what, I feel I'm more comfortable, like, playing Dutch style of football or whatever, you know, she's lived there for a while playing for Ajax. So, like, maybe you just lose out because that's what it feels. But you got to try everything you can do. You see the talent. Now everybody sees the talent. It's been there. but not everybody sees it.
I do think it's important culturally, though, and this might help with having Emma Hayes, is, you know, we saw, this is the first time we've seen a field look that black in a while. And then be able to be successful because the tactics and game plan in place allowed them to be themselves. Like, just even seeing how the black players rallied around her and then how they've been interacting with her and responding, I think that's important because at the end of the day, she still is a black kid who is also American. And that's a big deal when we're talking about a cultural connection. I think that's super important. And that's going to probably help influence the decision. And it's a big deal even seeing, like, with Katarina McCargo's kind of her little sis, you know what I'm saying? Or how the different players are talking about, yo, she is really good. And, like, they all, like, God, I ain't seen them be excited about somebody score like that in forever. Like, you had the reserves running down, almost jumping on the field. Like, can you do that? Please don't get suspended. But, like, you know, having that kind of lit lituation, like, that's American. You can't replicate that. It's, again, she did hit the get it gritty before. That's some American-ass shit. Like, that matters, and cultural aspect matters, and what's cool is having Emma, she's all for that shit. You know, she told him to put the pedal to the gas, whatever, in the press. She told him
that's what she didn't know what it meant or something.
Very funny.
She's like, what?
Looking like that meme of that lady with all the numbers around her head.
I can't wait to treat her like the NBA players treat the white European players. Like how they teach them English. Somebody do that. Like, please teach her slang like that. And I want to see how she tries to incorporate
it. But I mean, the point like was, poetry. She unleashed that lineup to go whip that ass, right? Yeah. And then they went in zoom, zoom, zoom. You know, and so having that freedom, we ain't seen that in a long time. And then they was lit. Like, they was cooking people up. But then you had Lily score, and it was like a lituation. It felt real. Like, I connected to that. That's the first time in forever. Me as a black person, how I am, felt connected to the national team. It was like, give me my USA garb. Doom, 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 doom.
Jewel Santana out here.
It was, I was ready. Give me my bandanas. Give me my chains. Give me my USA chain. Give it, come on, give me the shoes. And you felt lit. And then you saw it all on the timeline. Like, people was lit. Like, so many black people were like, yo.
I saw a lot of W, like, black W fans.
Like, even basketball fans were like, yo, what's up? What's up? So, I mean, this is important. So,
I will also.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just want to say in Emma Hayes' like post game press conference, she was talking about, you know, Lily Yohannes' debut. And I think one thing that's interesting in it, and I don't know if you can say this about previous national team environments, right? And I would argue that you probably couldn't, but it does seem like with Emma Hayes, this new energy in this environment, and Hayes said, quote, I don't think I've ever seen an environment so embracing, so caring for everyone in it. And I really do think a big part of that is it's now like not only having a player like, or sorry, a coach like Emma Hayes at the helm, where we've heard players talk over and over about how she embraces you as a person, not just a player, but also it just feels like with the more black and honestly melanated, but mostly black players coming on this team, of really seems like there's a deep sense of community that we haven't really seen before.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I agree with Sky too. Like, I don't think that can be replicated. It doesn't mean like other people's cultures and how they do community and how they build team isn't equally like valid. But I said it when I saw her hit the gritty in her IX kit. I was like, that's America's child. Like, that is an American kid. Like, and I don't know how to explain that to you if you're not black and from here. Like, I don't know how to have that conversation with you. And again, it's not a better or worse thing, but we all live slightly different existences, right? We have different histories. And so does she, right? Like, she's essentially a first generation American, right? So, first or second. But yeah, I'm just like, I don't know what's in her heart, but the way she celebrated like somebody who, when they were a slightly smaller version of themselves, because again, she's only 16, like, she envisioned that in that kid. Like, that's what it felt like. And I don't know. I'm just like, that midfielder with those forwards for the next three cycles. That would be my selling point. Like, Emma, call us if you need more recruiting.
And also, LaCroix will be added to that.
We got you, but like,
Roy will be added to that. That's gonna be fire. Just saying.
But it's just, it's like, that's a whole different conversation. But like, the potential to be able to do that through like the 2030s, essentially. We could do something really special and in a way that it hasn't looked before. And I don't know, the Fed will always have a contentious relationship, but maybe they decided they wanted to win.
Yeah, I think I need to say this in the group chat. I don't know what decision is going to be made, and I'm going to continue to live in fear until a decision is made. Even until like there's an actual like, okay, cap tied, can't make any other decisions. Like, this is it. Like, FIFA law prohibits. Like, I'm still going to be shook until we get to that point. Just because I can, and again, this isn't about, this is her decision. We saw it. I'm a fan of the sport. I'm going to be a fan of her wherever the hell she plays. Don't matter. Yep. Like, I'm going to be excited to watch.
I will grit my teeth and buy that Dutch kit with all your
heart. It is the only time I will ever support
the only time I'll grit my teeth.
Right? Like, I that game is amazing. I'm ready to watch that. I want to see it, and I don't care what. I would love it to be in the mix of players that we got, because I feel like this is very much a right fit. And a cycle and a transition of players that she can grow and develop with and alongside. I think we're like, the team is ready for it. If this had been maybe like the 2019 team or something, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's going to be a rough path, and I don't know if there's like a vibe fit. There's definitely a fit, it feels like, from the outside. So we'll see. But I think the biggest thing for me, like thinking about like big picture takeaways from like this window, is like, Courtney brought it up a little bit as well, like thinking about the Vlatko era and just what was missing and what wasn't there. Like, we could tell, you know, like we could tell what formation were we playing. What was our buildup? Were we 3-2-5? Did we 3-4-3? When we were defending, was it 4-4-1-1, 4-4-2? You know, aside from one half of the two games, like in 145-minute period, we saw very clear instructions, clear identities. We saw players with plans. We saw players knowing where they were going. And I think that for me, the thing that makes me very excited about Emma Hayes, and yes, there's a lot that she'll still need to learn, stuff that she'll still need to prove, I think, as well, as a coach of a particular American team and a Black American team. I think there's a lot there for her to still kind of get. But in terms of on the pitch, one of Emma Hayes' best strong suits, I think her best strong suit as a coach, is her player management and the fact that she can like set up a structure and say, where do I have a mismatch on the pitch? That's what we're going to do. Like, that's where we're going to exploit it. And with this crop of players, you're going to have a mismatch somewhere. And that's why I'm really excited about Emma Hayes with this, because you can take out Sophia Smith if you want to. Mallory Swanson going to go bonkers. You can try and take her out. Soph going to go bonkers. Robin going to go bonkers. Or we have, hopefully, Johannes, or we have Kat. You know, like, you can't have answers for all of them. And that doesn't mean they're going to win every game.
You're going to have to bench good players.
But, right, but it does, but it also means that, like, there is a level of, like, the talent will finally be able to be recognized. And that's the thing that had been so frustrating beyond the tactics. The thing that had been so frustrating in the previous cycles is that people are like, oh, we caught up. They don't have a talent edge. I'm like, y'all do not understand what I know. Like, what we see, what we know these players can do, I promise you, yes, the talent gap is closed, but there's a lot, like, y'all didn't see the real Sophia Smith yet. You just haven't. You will. You haven't seen Mallory Swanson because of that injury. You will. You haven't seen the real Kat because of her injury. You will. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of talent there that is going to make it very difficult to match up with the U.S. And yeah, you can get at us because every team is vulnerable right now, and that's a good thing. But oh, this the talent on this team makes me excited.
I mean, I also
get
think
at us today.
Well, also think about the talent in the pool. Like, think about the next about generation. Like, we how many times we talk about NWSL rookies who have been absolutely balling out. I mean, I know she hasn't been playing a ton for Angel City, but also for Racing Oval, but I like Raylan Turner. Like, she is, I watch her imagine 15 minutes her against like Gotham. Right, like
yeah, she's the next nine.
I was like, she can play center. Like she can do so much, but also thinking about like Messiah Bright. Like there's so many players, and that's right, just forwards.
Like people who have to come back in, right? Like I know she's not as young, but like you still have a Lynn, you still have a Midge, you still have the Switchblade Sisters. Like you still have
Mia Fischel. All of these,
like Mia they're Fischel. Going to be there. Until, Mia like people Fischel. Are gonna. Yeah, Mia Fischel is going to, like, they're going to be in the conversation in 2027. Like, it's going to be hell making that squad decision. Like, and that's a great problem to have. We're going to lead world-class talent at home for, like, the first time, I think. Truly world-class talent.
But even 100%. Then, for who you take, were people going to be like, oh, it's going to be over, like, Emma's gonna have 50 billion different variations of the same shit in different formations, gonna make your head spin.
Yeah.
That when you thought, oh, I'm planning for Mallory, I'm planning for Trinity, Alyssa, you know, Raylan.
Cause she, Jaden, and Mia were cooking in San Diego.
Yeah. Like, cooking. Like, you there's so many players. Hell, even if Utah can figure it out. Emma
Hayes is about to get her dream of every player on the field previously playing as a 10 at one point in her career. She's going to get that dream so quick.
Hey, yo, wish she could get a goalkeeper who played as a 10 and they can dime that thing.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We have 11 10s on the field.
Yeah. I know Hannah Hampton is an example. But yo, when we have a 10 dime in front of the thing, people going to pack up their bags and be like,
she's going to find that goalkeeper in the system. I'm not sure which one it is. She's going to find her.
But yeah, when you get to that point, yeah, good luck trying to deal with that. And the thing about what I love about Emma is she can make in-game adjustments. Ain't scared to sub a people. You know, the hockey line change wasn't even scary because it was like, oh, she unleashing the whip that ass package. Like, you can literally do stuff that, like, previously it was ignored and was frustrating because it was like, we got a deep pull. She gonna pull somebody. And the thing with having beyond the NWSL, because she actually was developed in, like, USL, W, all that, she's going to pull somebody probably like out of the Super League. Hell, even some other league we didn't see before in the United States and throw them in the system. You're going to be like, well, damn, you know, where'd I get them from? You know what I'm saying?
I think beyond that, she also knows where the U.S. players abroad are.
That too. Ahaha.
That are hiding in those like Norwegian league, like the leagues you don't think about.
There's a lot of American.
Brittany Rufino. I'm even going to shout out. She had a ridiculous season. Dorian. Yeah.
Dorian, oh my god. Like, every time I looked up on a weekend, Dorian was scoring like, at least two
racist
goals.
Actress.
Yeah. What's happening? I was like, good lord, she
but yeah, Rufino came to mind immediately. I was like, yeah, Rufino, buddy.
Dorian. I mean, even some of these players, we are going to see them in the USL Super League coming.
Yeah.
That you didn't know existed. You know, you're gonna have some in the USL, but then you're gonna have to sprinkle of these players you didn't know. And you're gonna be like, where the hell you pulled him from? And it's going to be like, you know, we thought we was going to bust somebody's ass and you didn't know, you know.
I mean, think about her very first call. I know they were training players, but well, one was a training player, but Hal Hirschfeld and Kate Wiesner. I ain't see that coming. I've been watching The Spirit all year. I ain't know that was going to happen. Like, if she's already to that level, that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're all kind of ecstatic and it hasn't felt this good in a long time. It's been a labor to watch our own national team. And that's a shitty feeling, guys.
It felt good to watch y'all.
Remember wet noodle midfields? I mean, we have Swiss cheese, but like that's probably not her starting midfielder. I remember the wet noodle formation.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, like, this is the thing that like has always like what made I think this is why I get so frustrated with like internal US soccer stuff, is because I don't feel like they understand why that team is popular. Like, I don't think they get it culturally. Like it's the winning. That's always going to be a thing because America likes to, you know, wave the flag around and be excited, especially if you can do it in front of the face of all other countries. That's something we're here for, which, you know, I'll save the dissertation on that for later. But like, for me, when it comes to that specific team, team's always been fun, man. Like, it's had some very fun players on it. We've scored some very fun goals. It's also been some, like, really elite talents as well, like watching them just ball out. Like, it's been fun, and it has not been fun to watch this team for a long time. So for me, just, like, these two games, like, South Korea, like, yeah, there's travel. There's all sorts of things that went into this as well for them and the way they performed. And we also heard reports that their, like, federation is being trash as well. So, like, they're all of that is true. I also say South Korea was in the World Cup.
Yep.
They battled Germany. Right? And I know Germany's been a mess recently, but, like, it's not like this was a Uzbekistan or something. Sorry to Uzbekistani homies. Yeah. But, like, it wasn't that. And this
Didn't
was...
they still score a goal against us, though?
They did.
They sure did. And a dope celebration, too.
And a dope ass celebration.
This was 7-0 across two games. We haven't seen that in a minute against, like, a pretty quality side. Yeah. And I felt people... Unfortunately, I listened to a couple other podcasts. They were kind of talking shit about South Korea. I was like, okay, like, we're not going to do that. Like, South Korea is a respectable side.
Right. Like, they're a respectable side who usually gives us the kind of a pain in our ass. Yeah. Right. Like, they get points off us usually.
We don't look like this against them normally.
That's... And they look considerably better in the second game. That also might be because of who we rolled out. Right. But, like, they had opportunities. And truthfully, that free kick was probably a penalty.
I agree.
It was a penalty.
I mean, so, like, they had opportunities.
We forgot.
Casey Murphy, how many saves did she have to make yesterday?
Yeah, that's fair. I was just going to say that we forgot that it is against, like, international law. Casey Krueger cannot concede a penalty. So I don't think on that basis, it was not a penalty.
Okay, that's fair.
True.
I accept that.
I was going to say, this was, like, the first time that we scored a bunch of goals like this, and it didn't feel like we got lucky to win the game and the other team fucked up. Like, even when you had the race car package come on, like, the defense fell apart because you can't, when you put that kind of speed out there, that kind of talent, you're getting cooked. You pray and hope and you ride and hope you get through the game. Like, it's going to fall apart
Right. I want to write poetry about Trinity Rama's work rate, but that's another day. It's so ridiculous. She picks that ball off that second goal. Like, I just saw Blonde go across my score. Like, what?
The crazy thing about the third goal, too, is she's just
waiting for it.
Trinity had sent that ball across the box, like, variations of that ball across the box so many times the game before, and no one was on the end of it.
Right.
Like, not a single person. And Lily Johannes comes on, and that's, it's like, oh, thing. Yeah, baller. Okay. And then adjusts, and then, like, and that's how she gets her goal.
Acres of space, and she was like, huh, maybe I should go to the space and try to shoot it. What a fucking novel concept. Sorry.
Actually, it was cool. Like, Lily and Trinity kept linking up like that through the rest of the time they were in the game together.
Trinity Rodman may never love a player more than she loves Lily Johannes.
Yeah, the pass that she was
like so much easier.
This is the thing that I love about Lily too, because even where, no matter who she's passing to, she's always inviting you to go forward, step up, take space, get into that space. That's proper midfield shit, right?
It was so noticeable when her and Sam came on. Ugh. Sam Coffey had the first time I saw a player take the ball facing their own goal and turn and go forward. And I was like, wow, we have not seen that for like 65 minutes this game.
Literally, not a single pass point during the World Cup.
Out of the center of the pitch was, hey, we're going backwards. Hey, we're turning around. The only time in the World Cup. Also, until like Rose came on in that first game against...
The Netherlands.
The game in the Netherlands, she came on and it was all of a sudden it's like, oh, we can turn and go forward. That is something we also
progress the ball.
Like, what?
It's just genuinely like it's the little things, but when you've been in poverty, friends, like
poverty.
Everything looks like I don't think people understood what they were missing until they saw it. Now they've seen it. And you're like, it could have been this. Yeah.
Oh, so this is the what before we move.
It could have had joy before.
I was going to say, think about it like with Emma Hayes is how she talked about. She doesn't seem like a mission to bring proper soccer. She acknowledged the IQ of the players. And what I didn't like during the World Cup and previously under the Vlaco regime is we acted like the American players were dumbasses. Like, she acknowledged their IQ, acknowledged she fed them a lot of information and how they process. And she was like, I'm putting them in the best place to try to be what they were. There are going to be some growing pains, but I'm allowing them to be their best thing. And particularly important when you have such a diverse talent pool like this, like highlighting that and talking about, this ain't me. It's not magical. Like, they had it. I'm helping them, giving them the space to go do this thing. And so I love that because, like, you can see, like, they were excited to play, but you could see them thinking and working through during over the course of the game and communicating. We ain't had no soccer looking like this in years. Hell, have we even really had it? Unless it was they had to try to figure out how to win despite anybody's game plan because they needed to win a lawsuit. Like, we haven't had this kind of joy purposely, including the coach, in forever. So
I love that you mentioned that and bring that up because, like, that was something that I did. I finally got a chance to ask him a question. So that was great. But I asked her basically, like, she had been saying, like, the team cares so much. It's such a caring environment. They care about one another, you know, and they work hard. So I went and asked her, like, what else did you learn about the squad? You know, your first time meeting them, you know, conducting trainings with them. And she was just like, they're cerebral, like how much they take information, how deeply they think about things. And Courtney and I, in the last episode, we just called them a bunch of nerds, you know, that's not a pejorative thing, but we got a lot of really smart ballers. Like, yeah, you see them and you see Sophia Smith, Mallory Swanson, Trinity Robin, you see the athleticism. Those are three really, really smart footballers.
They're a whole, like, lot of Stanford brains. Super
smart. Yeah, a whole lot
there's
of Stanford
so many,
brains.
There's so much air from them too.
A whole lot. There's a lot of really intelligent footballers that have they can get it and they can apply different things. And so Emma Hayes being the one to kind of guide that and show them, like, hey, here's what I'm seeing and here's what you can do. Like, they're here for it. Like, and that's why they were able to, like, take on all of that instruction and then apply it almost immediately. You know, it was what, 4 training sessions before the first game? That's like nothing. But think about how different that team looked already. And it's just like, they're so, so smart. And I like that she highlighted that because I think it is something that gets lost and overlooked, especially with the American lens that Europeans and others have, that American footballers are just athletic, that's it. Mm-hmm. Nah, these players are that, but they're also smart as shit.
Yeah, and I think also, again, with the makeup of this team, right, what it looks like now, this team is blacker than it's ever been, and it will get blacker. Like, I don't know if you know what's behind them, but it will get blacker in the next 3 years. And so what she is telling you is that black football players, particularly black women who play football, are intelligent, which is all we've been saying.
The foundation.
But when Emma Hayes says it, it sounds like a novel concept.
That's true.
You believe it when Emma Hayes says it.
Whoops. Say it again.
You've been questioning us for 3 years.
Preacher.
Maybe we know something. I did not go to Stanford. But I don't think I'm not, like, my mama and daddy are smart. I think I'm doing all right.
Well, I say on Twitter, we be talking, but we don't just be talking. Like,
right. I don't say stuff just to say it.
Right. People think we just, like, we like Lily Johannes because she's black. Like, yeah, I like her because she's black, but also, did you see that?
Yeah.
What has this team been missing in the last cycle? Did you see it? You think that can be useful? Why do you think we've been shouting on the podcast from
my argument will also be, why do you think you don't like white people because they're white? But okay, that's a different conversation. Why
is that people of color too?
Like, why do you think you're above that? Every race does that. But sorry, different conversation for a different day. But like, it's just, like, the intelligence, the skill set that comes with that, and then you add the athleticism, and then you add, like, the real nuanced and cultural components of, like, blackness and community, yeah, and what that means to us and our villages and our families. Like, Bubba, I teared up a little bit when Naomi put that armband on because where she comes from. Like, Naomi don't come from money. Like it's different. You know what I mean? And like, to be a first generation American, to be that young, to be that reliable, and like, you are this, she to me is the face of the team. Like, she is the person everyone looks to. She is the sure thing. She is our Becky Sauerbrunn. She happens to be an Ethiopian American girl, right? Like, same number and everything, right? So And I mean, it teared up a little bit when Crystal Dunn got it too. But I like that being like her being our captain for the next 10 years. I never thought we'd get here. Like that, and that's, I think, what Emma brings. And I think she has the guts to like say things. She's going to get it wrong sometimes, by the way. But I think first and foremost, she's a teacher. I think that's why she and Dawn Staley get along. I think there's many reasons. And again, Emma, Dawn, I would love to do that interview with you whenever. But I can see, I've said it for years, like the similarities between them, like that need to teach, that need to protect not just their players, but their sport. I think I read an article recently, Dawn Staley said something to the effect of like, I will always protect basketball because it's given me everything. I will never betray the game. And I think Emma Hayes has a lot of the same sentiment in her about football. She loves it more than anything besides her kid. And I think she sees all the different ways it can be, and she sees that in this team. And she also gets to coach a lot of generational talent, and she's probably salivating. It's also a nice ego boost because she does have an ego. All coaches do.
Yes, very true. Yeah. And I just want to co-sign. I hope you get to do that interview.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can think of anybody better to do that.
I would interview. Throw up afterwards, but I would.
You get your little bag, eat your mint, yeah. Keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always made sense to me. Like, I'm like, they're very similar to me. Oh. Dawn's like a mix of Emma and like Ancelotti. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, that's a good one.
That like, I don't call timeouts. I'm going to let you figure it out.
That's Ancelotti shit. Yeah. Carlo all day.
No, what are you talking about? Carlo raises one eyebrow and they all get it.
Carlo blows on his eyebrow, raise the eyebrow, like, get it together.
They're like, oh, okay, I got
Dawn
it.
Just stares. Dawn just does the
stares. Dawn stares is like...
Like, you know what you're supposed to do.
Don't get to this halftime.
That tweet was hilarious.
Oh,
was
so good. Right. And Aaliyah Boston's like, yep, that's exactly.
Yeah, she's like, that's right. Jill need to call a timeout. It's just a look. They're like, okay, tighten up. Gotcha.
I know when she did that. I was like, my goodness, I'm sorry.
I was going to say one last thing. Emma Hayes was lit on the sideline. I ain't seen coaches be like that, like lit. Like, she was trying to keep it composed, but she was lit. Like,
oh, no, she gets lit.
Will always be fresh, baby.
Always. No, she is fun to watch on the touchline. Like, having watched her for Chelsea for so many years, she is, like, very fun to watch on the touchline.
She's a character.
She truly is.
Trying to figure out when we think she's going to say the first wild thing in the press conference.
I just can't wait till she subs someone in the 24th minute. That's what I'm waiting for. A 24th minute sub. I don't know who
it's
going to be.
I'm going to cry when Trinity Rodman is on the back line. I know it's coming.
Oh, don't. What are we doing? We're not doing that. Okay, so we're... Okay. So, pivoting.
She could be a wing back.
She's feeling the vibe.
Okay, wing back.
Stop. Well, she does play as a wing back. What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm here to say, it don't matter what her position is now.
She's a wing back.
And she's a wing back. It don't make no sense, but it's true.
Yeah, she do. She still be cooking.
You see her pushing these center backs up to the nine position already. She out here.
Okay, wait. Before we go to Desperate United's episode, well, I have one question.
I mean, we have a rant, but go ahead.
Sorry, that too. Who will be Emma Hayes' center back because she's converting into a nine when they need a goal?
Right now,
I feel like Sam Staub blew a chance.
Yeah, Tierney's in the lead right now, right?
Tierney
was kind of off set pieces.
You know,
like, it wasn't like she was like, I'm putting you up in the nine to see what happens.
Actually, we'll see the wild card because she did it at Stanford, Naomi Girma.
Yeah, I painfully saw her do it to my Cougs.
I don't want Emma doing this. Wait, I don't want Emma doing this because I don't need Casey Stoney getting any ideas for club play. But you let her float up towards, you get her in midfield a little
bit. Yes, she made a run and hit a header. I vividly remember that.
She can score.
Either tweeting out or texting or something. I was like, she's everything they say she is. Oh, sit though.
I actually think if she gets back in, like, in the mix, it will be Ava Gattino.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. She scores because she scored a banger for PSG in the semis.
I can't remember.
Like, playing the thing they do or whatever the hell it was.
But I do think, they kind of are similar profiles, her and Millie. But also, I'm like, the soccer proverb. I want to call it an African American proverb, but it's not. Of just hit it to the big guy up top. Yep. I thought, who are all the player profiles from center back who are in this national team mix?
Get it to Gronk, baby. Let's go.
She's like, get a big guy up top.
It's a Gronk. Oh, man. Big girl score a goal. Sometimes it'd be like that.
It'd be like that.
All right.
All right. Let's power through this one.
All right. So here we go. Rant time. This is Raven rant. So, as Andre alluded to earlier, men have been wilding out in due to the W. And it's been disturbing. And we reached the point in a very physical league that is the WBA. If you are new to this, understand this league has been physical. Ask Candace Parker, her rookie season, the Malice in the Palace Part 2.
2.0. Yeah.
That was a legendary experience, but it was a rough... And she was beasted. And understand, Candace Parker is the only MVP and Rookie of the Year combo because mm-hmm. she could play all five positions and she was elite offensively and defensively. That's mm-hmm. hoops education for you. Keep that in mind when you think about Caitlin Clark. What has been disturbing is the lack of levels of understanding the intersection of race, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and then also talking about the sexism when we talk about the WNBA. And so we have these crazy conversations without understanding how those aspects and intersections impact things. But then even we y'all talk about y'all want to watch the game of hoops, but y'all like asking for things that just don't make sense. You want Caitlin Clark to have an easy getting blessed into the league that has forever been hard to get into and get, you know, particularly on the roster sizes of 12 people in 12 people per team in only 12 teams. So that's 144 people, and we ain't even encountered the salary cap. You're wanting her to be like the heir god apparent because you didn't watch the league, but you got to understand there's like being blessed into the league as a rookie. You wanted to watch basketball, but you're getting mad that she's going through a journey on a badly constructed team. That is like frustrating because we're getting away from the concept of just watching dope ass basketball, right? And so in particular, when you had this incident happen with Kennedy Carter, who, if you actually look at the plays before, she got popped in the face. That's why she retaliated. Should she have done it like that? No, but whatever. We having these conversations where we asking for things to change and y'all talk about they goons and they being violent when it's like, no, it's hoops. It's hoops. You know what I'm saying? And so I wish there's more nuance. If you don't know about the W, take time to look at it. If you cover the W, and this is not just for the WNBA, this is also for women's soccer, and you don't want to watch this stuff, it's volunteerism for you, it's charity, then don't cover it, don't watch it. We don't need your support for that. There's now access to the games, so people can see it on TV, so now it's getting covered, so you're getting the audience and data, so it's growing. You don't have to cover this shit if you don't want to. There's people who love soccer, women's soccer, well, women's basketball, they want to cover it. You don't have to take a pain out of your day to watch this shit. And you get befuddled because you see people getting physical, as in women playing, and then you don't want to watch. So I say that because my rant is, please do better with this coverage of the W. If you're going to watch it, let's watch it and look at the hoops. If you don't know what hoops look like, well, welcome to real pure basketball. You're going to learn something. You're going to see screens. You're going to see pick and rolls, you're going to see interchange of the plays, you're going to see people play different positions. You ain't going to see no dunking, because you dunking, you get that cookie on the other end, they're going to put your ass on the bench. And then we playing to me, it's energy. Jokic and Luka don't dunk like that because it's energy wasting. Like, but you can get cooked. Look at Tweety Nolan highlights if you didn't know. You can get dunked on, you can get got. But it's literally like pure basketball. Take time to look for it. Please don't talk out your ass if you don't know what it is. There's a whole history. There's several people in the space who know about it. But come and enjoy. Don't be putting your feet on the couch and talking shit if you don't know what's going on. But, like, yeah, please be better, do better. Because I just want to watch the hoops because there's a lot of dope-ass hoops. And shout out to the Aces. All right, I'm done.
Okay, I'll go pretty quickly. I think mine is going to be similarly aligned. I think for me, I just wanted to shout out. I listened to the committee the other day. I know they talked about, or I can't remember who came on the stage and talked about, it almost feels like the NWSL and the WNBA are switching places. I think there's some truth to that. and the money that they're chasing is very interesting as both leagues. But I will say, for all the grief I give the NWSL, we ain't got Kathy. Because, that's tough. But I wanted to say, and speaking to the committee and other folks I've seen online, particularly Black people who cover women's college basketball and have for a very long time, people told y'all this was kind of like 2 years ago. And I can certainly say, as somebody who also does the work in the soccer space, who has said things very early on and has been dismissed, ignored, retaliated against, called everything but a child of God, which is standing in the truth that I know based on lived experience and also like academia and research, because I read things. Like, I know that feeling. And so I really just wanted to shout out the people who stood in that truth from the beginning and told you, like, this is going to happen. Like, this is pretty much how this is going to play out. Maybe no one knew to this extent. But yeah, I think ultimately, I should have worn my other shirt today. Believe Black women. Like, I don't, overwhelmingly, that's who told you what was happening. And that's who's catching a lot of the bullshit now. And so, you know, our motto is always, you know, make sure the Black women in your life are always elevated. So yeah, it's been a hard week. So just make sure y'all love on us and believe in us and believe us. So we're usually right. Andre.
I'm going to add to the WNBA conversation, not because like I'm a dude, I got my opinions, because we heard enough of those, as Sylph said, from dudes. But I will say my clearly ain't what we've been hearing from most of these dudes, particularly the ESPN dudes. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them. Well, I do know ESPN let go of all their people who could talk with some sense when it came to anything but like talking about the Cowboys or whatever. Like that's about it. The Cowboys and Knicks, I think that's all they got. And then now they have been talking about women's sports, and we see how it's going. My other thing is, though, like, for me, I usually am kind of like, I don't want to put overburden players, especially bit players that are like going through a lot. And so like, I can imagine, we were talking before the pod, like Kate Martin's having a time of her life. Caitlin Clark is struggling. Like, I understand. Like, I see it. I see it in the game. She looks like this ain't fun for her yet. It probably will be, because she's quite good. We'll see if the Fever can make something happen around her, or if we're going to see, like, I don't know. How much weight is she going to pull? Is she going to demand a trade or something? I don't know. But, like, it's not going to happen now. Like, this season, it's just going to be rough. But I also think she could do herself a bit of favors, because you got state senators now contacting the league office over you, using your name. Like, I understand that you want to be quiet and keep your fan base as big as possible. That's like the smart marketing thing to do. And I'm sure she's probably being told to do that. But look at the league you're in. Like, look around a little bit. Look at the fan base a little bit. Like, look around. You can't Republicans buy shoes too in this league and in 2024 in women's basketball. That's not really going to cut it. So like, now that you got state senators calling out, like trying to call the league office, you might have to speak on this. Like, you might have to say a little something. And I honestly think it would go a long way with not only like everybody else in the league, the fans, but also maybe her own team. So like, I don't know. I don't necessarily feel right telling her what she needs to say or she's got to. I would say she might want to strongly consider it, because I think right now it's gotten way out of control, and really her silence is kind of allowing it to at the moment. And I just really think she might need to say something.
It's similar to, somebody pointed out that basically they were like, why didn't people go stand up for her? Well, previously several teammates have tried to calm her down in the situation she got into. But how do you stand up for somebody who's not going to speak up for you? Because when your boyfriends, your family are liking things that are kind of racist towards your teammates, somebody got to get checked. This is real shit. That, like, it's the aces are always down for each other because they're a family. You know what I'm saying? All these cross teams, the good teams have family connection. Even we can roast on Liberty. Are they really liking each other? Well, they like each other more because they actually win the games. You know, they doing the thing. I think they do. It's a joke.
It's a joke. I will go into it, that before, but I think now. Yeah, they actually do.
But like, you know what I'm saying? Where it's a team sport. It's not golf. It's not tennis. You gotta check people. So yeah, that is real. But yeah, go on, Courtney.
Cool. Yeah. I actually really do. If I'm being honest, I really don't have a ton to add. I like echo truly everything you said. It's just, I mean, Andre, close your ears, but like men, like just like,
why are they?
why are they? Like the amount of times, and to be fair, I've seen this happen in women's soccer, but it seems just be hitting new heights in the WNBA of like, I try to live my life. I mean, I have several models I try to live my life by, but one of them is like, you can't be loud and wrong.
Oh, Lord. God.
Like,
Father.
Stephen A's whole career.
I was about to say that exact same thing. He's got millions based on the fact that he's loud and wrong.
I know. And it's because, I mean, clickbait maybe makes Mickey Mouse a lot of money. But, like, there are just so many people. And the thing is, I have seen this play out in a like, working through a bunch of different companies and seeing out just, like, internalized sexism that then trickles into also internalized racism, and then with something like the WNBA, it then coalesces, then you add internalized homophobia and internalized transphobia with it, becomes a, for people who are, let's say, new to the sport, becomes a cesspool of also idiotic takes. And it's like, and I've been thinking about it of like, you know, we want women's sports to hit new heights and get the media coverage they deserve and all the stuff. But then at the same time, I think like, is this the smartest way forward? If you're going to have it where, I mean, I don't know if y'all saw the news from tonight, players are getting harassed at their hotel in DC. Like, I know when we talk about the growth of women's sports and sometimes, and like, for me, a core part of it is like learning the lessons from the men's game, if it's applicable, and like learning those lessons to make sure it does not like repeat while women's sports are growing. And at least for me right now with the W, like, I don't think that's happening because, or like, I don't think those lessons are being learned. I mean, honestly, a lot of it because of media, like the fact that Angel Reese got that second technical last night for saying that's bullshit. And I was like, you can't tell me. I saw that news and I was like, you cannot, I can. And like, maybe this is me and being a media studies major in college and how that's, it still influences my daily life every single day, especially looking at news coverage. And I'm like, I can so easily draw the direct through line between all this stuff with Caitlin Clark and saying that Carter should be brought up with assault charges. Like, you can't tell me that's not a direct through line of everyone seeing and ingesting that media coverage to getting a second technical, which thank goodness they've rescinded now, but for saying to a ref, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. And so it's somebody like, said refs have social media too.
I mean, and it's like, you can't tell me that's not a direct through line. And it's just like all of this at this point, it just kind of feels like at certain points, it feels like a cesspool of just like really, really bad takes. And it's like, I mean, and that is also on the back of like, remember that, like what, Caitlin Clark's first press conference where that guy did something really creepy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like it's just been like things over things, like it's just been like a terrible snowball effect really from what, the 2021-2022 NCAA, you know, yeah, final four, like
you can't see me.
Like it's literally just been, you can like immediately draw the through line. And it's like, if you ask me, you know, what, 2 or 3 years ago, this was going to happen, I'd be like, I hope not, but I can see it happening. But like, there also needs to, like, y'all need to y'all got to break the, or overthrow the entire system.
Yeah.
Like, and also, that also means if you're going to spout some absolute bullshit that is now endangering the health and safety of your players, revoke media access.
Yeah, it's
all that goes for Mickey Mouse too. Like, it goes for, like, if you do that bullshit, like, that goes for broadcasters too. It's everyone who participates in this space.
But but then that's why it's important to understand the history of the W. The W is controlled by the NBA, and their solitary media rights holder for the most part until recently was the Disney Networks, Mickey Mouse Networks, ESPN.
Yeah, ABC. No.
And so that's part of the problem. You have, what's the craziest thing is with Stephen A. talking out his ass and then Pat McAfee calling Caitlin Clark what he called her. They are on the media. They are the media rights holder. And they actually contributed to why you didn't have coverage of the WNBA past the first 2 years of the league on any other networks because they said people aren't watching it. That's bullshit. But that, I mean, they are part of the issue. So you would have to blow up the system. And hopefully in this new deal and the different, you know, avenues for WNBA and a new CBA, you get a shift. But yeah, this is bullshit. But men do better, be better. And yes, you can talk about the WNBA if you know what you're talking about, but you can make space. You don't have to have a 2-hour program. You can make a 10-minute segment with somebody who knows what they're talking about to get your audience exposed. But like, be better, do better. You know what I mean? But yeah. Let's talk about some positivity. What are your songs of the week? We have 50 billion minutes to figure it out in the hits and riffs. What are your songs?
One or two?
I don't know. If you, whatever you got at this rate. Oh, y'all actually put shit. Oh, look at y'all. See? Growing up.
Okay.
Being better.
Says person with no songs.
I have no songs, but go ahead.
Exactly. I'm like, wait a minute.
In order, somebody right. Go. Who go?
Yeah. Okay. So for me, I have Guilty by Madison McFerrin, just because that was fun this week. 34 counts. 34.
Four.
34. That motherfucker's guilty. It's a bop. It's a bop.
He's guilty.
I love that you guys that. We need to do.
The McFerrins are an extremely talented family, by the way. It's quite disgusting. I had a friend who used to, Bobby McFerrin worked with a choir for a while. Wow. And then my other one is, so I gave Courtney the bad news. RIP to the City Girls.
That was always coming, man. That was always coming.
I know. Yeah, they're messy. Like, I get it. But that's their appeal. So I did act up in honor of the fallen City Girls.
Okay. Which tall one? One of y'all?
I mean, it's, I'm still not over Kendrick Lamar and all the things that he did to Drake. So I'm still listening to Euphoria. I think I've started listening to Euphoria a bit more than Not Like Us. Of course, BBL Drizzy still gets in there from time to time. Euphoria is just, I don't know, like so that beat, I think, like I love that they not like Not Like Us beat, but like that Euphoria beat is just, it's villainous. It's just villainous. Yeah. And he lives up to it in the best of ways. So I'm loving that. And it's actually kind of wild because, you know, my music range goes all over the place. So like, because I've been so Kendrick heavy, every now and then I'll feel like I need to listen to another song. And the only other song that I keep playing in addition to kids. So it goes from like Kendrick, like maybe like Not Like Us, Euphoria, maybe BBL Drizzy. Then I go back to Euphoria. Like I just keep listening to the same thing. But then when I break it with I'm Your Baby Tonight by Whitney Houston. And I don't really understand how or why that happens, but it happens.
I feel like I'm rubbing off on you.
Whitney cleanses the palate. That's
I mean, your, it does. Your you know what? That's exactly what it is. And yeah,
I think that's her best vocal performance. But yeah, we could just.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. But yeah.
Press control.
But, yeah,
oh, those are okay, mine. Sorry. R.I.P. to the goat. all right. Courtney?
Mine, Cowboy Carter, I'm finally. Cowboy Carter is not on my neck anymore like it was when it first dropped because a lot of them tracks honestly shifted the way my brain worked. But a song that has been stuck in my head for like 4 days at this point is Birds of a Feather by Billie Eilish. You have probably heard it on TikTok if you're on TikTok. It's like a perfect summer song. It's very poppy. Kind of want to listen to it when you're driving in your car when it's nice outside, maybe going to the beach or something like that. It's a real bop. It really is. I didn't list this, but I've also been listening to a lot of Dua Lipa because she just dropped an album. And I feel like warm weather is perfect time for pop songs. And then because the City Girls broke up, I will start listening to Twerky Later on repeat as I've done in the past. Because that song is also bops only.
myself or my songs. I don't know what I'm picking. So, Never Too Busy by Kenny Glattimore. Is it playing? So, you know. Because it's my
all
mom.
I can think of now is the Last Dance. He got that Kenny Glattimore.
Never Too Busy for you, boo. Dedicated to you, boo, whoever you at. I'm just playing. Anyway, It Is So Anxious by Ginuwine. I know that's out of left field.
You need to share something with the class?
No, I'm doing a shuffle on my Apple Tunes. And then Keep It Moving by A Tribe Called Quest. See, that's how my shuffle. Okay. I got some diversity to my little situation. Look at me out here in the streets. I got some band mixes too, but we ain't gonna bring those in. Well, that's it for this episode, this long ass episode of Shea Butter FC. Shout out to all the people in the streets, in the world, at the TSOT, in wherever you are. Do y'all have any shout outs to whoever? Y'all got any?
Shout out to Monica McNutt.
Yeah, that's shout what I say. Monica shout out McNutt. Monica McNutt. Wait, hold on. Let me give her a hand clap.
Yeah.
My bad, Courtney. That was loud. Shout out to Monica. I thought you was jumping because I had the clap clap loud. But shout out to Monica McNutt because she's had to deal with a lot of bullshit. If you didn't see her Ether, Stephen A. Smith, you need to go watch it. It's out there. They actually put it over Etherbeat. But
I was like, can someone put over an Etherbeat?
Even the but I mean, I would even check out her appearance on Shannon Sharpe's episode because she actually checks him really well and how on a lot of stuff, and they have actually a really good conversation. Don't listen to the Stephen A. Smith. Don't watch nothing else in any. Don't watch nothing else with Stephen A. Smith in regards to that because he ain't learned nothing. And actually listen to the Bomani Jones episode because she checks him, and it's a really good. That's the first time in a long time I heard Bomani actually have that depth in retrospection. So that's a dope episode. And yeah, shout out to her. We see you, girl. And then shout out to the ballers. All the Shea Butter ballers across the world, national team who did this thing during the break. Marta out here turning back time.
Bianca Brazil, I'm obsessed with you.
Brazil, I'm also Brazilian. I too will feel Brazilian during the Olympics.
I was going to say 2027, I'm going to be Brazilian for a month. It's going to be amazing.
Well, that too. Then shout out to the WBA ballers that have been ignored. The Connecticut Sun are 9-20 and whatever. They're 9-0. The Aces are still great. And everybody else is balling. Like, you got a lot of people who can. There's only one team that's just terrible. And then on the struggle bus because of construction. Sorry to the Mystics, but shout out to y'all getting Paige Buckner's. Do you like mumbo sauce? Do you like Capitals? Do you like statues? Do you like brunch? She gonna be all out there.
Say, fuck it for buckets. That's how it is. That's the mantra. Fuck it for Paige buckets. Whatever. Whatever happens this year, whatever. Just make sure you get Paige.
Oh, man. Just don't let her go to Indiana, man. They're a mess.
No. Nobody else is getting nothing in Indiana until they figure out how to fix the basketball. We're gonna leave them alone.
Yeah, they gotta be removed from the draft until they figure out what's going on.
It's gotta be consequent. Relegation. Relegation.
Yeah, relegate that. Like, that's bad. Like, no. But yeah, shout out to everybody balling, broken records, all that. And yeah, I don't know. Y'all got any more shout outs? And so with that, you go listen to the Diaspora United episode because we still got another episode. But what are we going to do? Oh, shit. Because we close this episode. Don't be looking crazy. We're going to stay hydrated. Unmute.
Sorry. Stay melanated.
We're going to make sure the Black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your Shea Butter bombs are always elevated.
Shout out to our patrons. Got Paw Sports, Carolyn Nettles, and everybody in the world. Team, all that. Everybody now. This is long as hell. Say bye.
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 All in place, you know I'm hoping they line up. I've been watching pieces fall in place, you know I'm hoping they line up. I've been watching pieces. Trying to catch a wave, we ain't in North Carolina.